Welcome to Two Bards, One Mic. Insert interesting music here.
Hey, and here we are for our second podcast.
Hello.
We just got back from doing a screening today. We talked about it a little on Facebook. And we also just shot another 30-second short for the Cracked.com Shot Clock Challenge Film Festival. So be sure to check out our Facebook, Two Bards, for links to the two videos we've recently shot.
Yes. Two awesome 30-second videos.
They are pretty badass. Today's video included Christian Doyle, who you might know from last week's podcast. I don't think he's done anything else.
No. The guy's very... Little known about him.
Yeah, not worth really talking about.
No. Oh, and Kayla Bunch was in the first one.
Yeah, no, she's famous.
Yes. So she is very famous.
Yes.
She works with Bandersnatch.
You can't say that on... Oh, no, we're rated R.
We're rated R.
You can totally say Bandersnatch. Okay. So...
It's like Pussy Willows. I can say Pussy Willows and Bandersnatch.
Oh, snicker snack. Okay, so I think I wanted to start this week out kind of talking about how we met.
Oh, cool.
We haven't really talked about that, and only a few people know the story. And
disregard the zipper sound you just heard. Realize that was probably bad placement right there. That was my Journey Quest hoodie that I was unzipping.
Thank you, Steve Malik.
Yes, thank you, Steve. If you're out there listening.
So the story behind how we met, Ben Dobbins, who you may know as the editor for Everything Awesome, as well as stand-in, he took up the mantle of director on Journey Quest Season 2.
Yes.
Because Matt was procreating, or had procreated.
Had procreated, and the procreation had arrived.
The creation part of procreation occurred right before principal filming began. So Ben Dobbins hosted a murder mystery in, what was it, 2009? September of 2009? Was it 2010? I think it was 2009.
10.
10?
Yeah.
Okay, wow. So we haven't known each other. Okay, so September of 2010, Ben hosted a murder mystery.
September. Yeah, it was probably 2009.
That's what I thought, because we were January was when we shot.
I thought
the
it was early, but it was late in the year. That's right.
Right. So we were out at Fort. Help me out here.
I was just going to say it before you said something. Fort Thompson. No. Fort Benning. No.
No. No.
It was the fort out in Port Townsend, not Fort Flagler, where we shot Dorkness. Which I thought we were going to, but it's another fort that has a complete barracks still up, and we were able to rent out the barracks. Quick side note, this was like the fourth or fifth murder mystery that Ben had done, and he kept having them in his house until the point that we had so many people we couldn't fit in the houses anymore, so he decided to go and rent this place, and everybody pitched in for the rental, and it was a full overnight experience. It wasn't just show up, drink a little, have a game, and then leave. It was full on.
Right, and for us, it was actually an over two-night experience. I'll get to that. So I was invited to this murder mystery because I'd been helping out with some data management for the Dorkness Rising re-release DVD, as well as some other subtitle work and some computer magic to get subtitling into the Journey Quest episodes. So,
and I was invited because nobody else would go, and there was an opening.
That is true. So we show up at this murder mystery, and this is also where I met Beau Pritchard and Evan Shimano and a number of people.
Don Early,
Sam O'Hara, Phil. Sam and Phil also met at the murder mystery, I believe. And are now married.
Oh, was that a first for them?
I'm pretty sure. I'll double check. I could be wrong, but I'm pretty sure that they met also at the murder mystery. And their relationship caught a little more than ours did, but not much.
No.
Not much more.
No, not much more.
Again, that zipper was...
Because that can totally be done now.
Right.
In the state of Washington.
That and weed.
And weed.
I love it here. This is a great place.
God bless America.
So we met at this murder mystery. Scott comes in wearing a shirt with his own face on it. And I, of course, could not let that stand. I basically told him that was the extreme equivalent of wearing the shirt for the band you're seeing to the concert. And he agreed and laughed.
You thought it was Jesus.
I did think it was Jesus.
So did my mom.
I still haven't been proven wrong.
No.
Again, it did say I am fantasy. So, okay. So, the murder mystery, night number one, I was playing a French archaeologist and you were playing a British cop, I believe.
Yes, that is... that is correct, sir.
And the way the night progressed, we ended up talking to each other quite a bit. And my accent slowly crept into Scott's act.
Mm-hmm.
I would speak like this to him very frequently, and he would come back to me with at first a British accent, but then he would eventually turn French. And he just could not keep the British accent at all. And it was hilarious.
I still can't.
I know.
I can't keep an American accent right now.
And then night two,
played Frenchy.
And I played a British professor, Professor Fox. Or no, it was a priest. Yeah,
yes,
I was Father Fox or something. And the second night, the reverse happened. He kept slipping back into British, Cockney specifically, from the night before, whenever I would talk to him. It was a lot of fun.
Yeah.
It was also just fun being out on the peninsula, and I'd never really been to that place before. It was a great time, and I highly recommend if you're going to host a murder mystery, do it at Fort, I don't know what the hell it's called.
Yeah, look it up.
Look up Fort wherever.
There's also, surprisingly, some extraordinary places with vegetarian and vegan fare.
Which, yes, we...
Because we found a couple of those.
Yes,
they were doing,
we
like, an art walk also that weekend.
Oh, man, it
or
was just
a film festival.
Yeah,
or,
it was a great place. We also... Aaron, for the second night... So we stayed over because we lost a cast member for the next night. And Ben asked us if we'd be willing to stay. So we did. And Erin didn't have clothing for that character. She only had clothing for her cat burglar character, not for her preacher's wife character. So we went into town and found this amazing little vintage shop and bought a dress for $40 that at, you know, in Seattle would have cost us $200.
Oh, yeah.
At a vintage shop. Just a great little town, and I highly recommend going out there.
Haunted places out there, too. In fact, they're filming a movie out there right now that our friend Neil McNeil is a consulting specialist on, because he is...
A spookialist, actually.
A spookialist,
yes.
I believe that he has that on his business cards.
Really?
But he is a paranormal... educator, actually. Teaches a lot of classes. Just had a Kickstarter for a DVD series. Yeah, so there's a lot happening out in the Port Townsend area.
Yeah, I'm a skeptic, so I think, hey, have fun out there, but, you know, it's not haunted.
I see dead people.
Except perhaps by the smell of Scott C. Brown as a British cop.
I did stink up the stage.
But
I took copious amounts of notes.
There was a lot of eggplant.
With dialect. My notes had the correct dialect.
No,
French didn't go into the notes.
I know. I actually wrote a backstory, a huge backstory about the expedition, the archaeological expedition my team was on. Another interesting thing is Chris Dupenthaler was there.
Yes, he was.
And he was playing, this is funny, a character named Chris, and I couldn't remember his character's name. So I totally marked Chris Dubenthaler. The whole night, I'm like, I forgot who you are. And he, of course, without missing a beat, said, I get that a lot. It was great. So yeah, that's how Scott and I met, and it's been nearly four years now of pretty fun times. So we're gonna answer a couple of questions that we got on Twitter. We got a couple of questions is really what it came down to. The first question is from Seth Davis, and the question is apparently glass cannons. So, yes, Seth, we don't have much more information than we had last week about glass cannons.
But we can say glass cannons a lot. We can say glass cannons.
Or glass gannons.
Or crass grannons.
Bryan Cranston.
Would be great on glass cannons.
Bryan Cranston, if you are listening to our podcast, please come be on Glass Cannons. The only thing that I think we haven't really said is who else we have writing potential. Well, we haven't talked about any of the Wizard cast.
Correct. We have not.
I will go ahead and say that Luke Amundsen is going to be one of our... He's going to be kind of the major sort of Dumbledorial wizard. He's modeled a bit after my gaming character Eldwyn. In fact, I think his name currently in the script is Eldwyn. So and aside from that, you can look for a lot of really, really bad wizarding puns.
Oh, yes.
They are going to just be horrible.
Puniful in nature.
Yeah. And I guess
punishment.
That's what we have up our sleeve. Huh? Huh? Okay, yeah, that's enough.
Sleeves,
of that.
Wizards. Are we in it?
We may very well be in it. We're at the very least writing it, but I think that, I know for a fact you're in it. Urine. So we've got one other potential special guest from the DG cadre also in it.
Yes.
And I've already gotten most of the approval for that. Matt, if you're listening, check your email. But yeah, we've got one other DG person. The rest are going to be, like I said before, stereotypical wizarding archetypes. You've got the Doug Henning sort of magic wizard. You've got the party magician who just basically does tricks.
Mm-hmm.
You've got your sort of necromancer who is just nobody really like wants to deal with him. He's kind of, I'm thinking maybe kind of a Richmond from IT Crowd sort of character.
Yes.
Only, you know, he can actually raise the dead. So, yeah, that's what we're looking at for glass cannons. And that's really about all we have on that so far.
And those are going to bookend.
Yes.
We'll have an intro of the wizards, an outro of the wizards for every episode. But the creamy filling in the center of the Oreo cookie, you could think of glass cannons as an Oreo cookie. We are the sandwich, and the creamy filling is somebody else.
Yes, we will not be stuffing you full of our creamy filling.
No.
That will totally be, hopefully, people with better creaminess than ourselves.
Yes, and Sarah Moore has got way better creamy filling.
We'll cut that. All right, so additionally, on Twitter, Thomas Brophy, who is... A bro to us, brother, not a popped collar. Yeah, no, he's a brother to us.
Not a young Republican.
Not a young Republican. He's an old Republican. That's not true either.
No.
So he asked us to give our take on the Tomb Raider review that was written by Ashalia. If you haven't read this review yet. Again, check our Facebook page, our Two Bards page. The review is...
It's also on my personal page.
It's on my personal page as well. It's on Zombie Orpheus. Yeah, it's on the Zombie Orpheus page. It is a very interesting take on the violence in Tomb Raider from the perspective of a person who had faced abuse from her father.
Mm-hmm.
And Tom wanted us to sort of talk about that. One thing I wanted to talk about was kind of the we're going to get heavy here, and I apologize. The rallying cry right now on the internet, because the internet as a whole is kind of a dumb jocko douchebag.
Yeah.
So the current rallying cry is, well, it's unfair to call to say that the abuse in there is specifically female focused because males can be abuse victims. I myself was a victim of abuse. I was beaten with wire coat hangers. I was, and again, I'm sorry, we are getting very heavy on this. I was beaten with doweling, like pieces of, I was beaten a lot as a kid. And it was just, it was from ignorance.
Not yours.
Not my own, no.
Okay,
no. It
was great.
It was the ignorance of my mother. She...
person wielding the implements.
She was definitely the person wielding the implements. And, I mean, it wasn't like Mommy Dearest bad, but it kind of sucked. So, having been a victim of abuse, I can say that while, yes, there are triggers about abuse in the game, there are triggers for abuse, there is nothing that I experienced in the game that brought that flooding back, because the main point, or the main arguing point for this being something that really explores misogyny and abuse of females is that the person abusing Lara in this specific case being talked about is doing so fully through physical strength, which is something that women experience on a different level than men. Most women. There are definitely women out there who are extremely physically strong.
Mm-hmm.
And there are men out there who are extremely physically weak. But in general, when you talk about abuse through pure physical strength, in this case, choking someone by lifting them with one hand, it is definitely more resonant with a male-on-female abusive dynamic. So, to the people that are arguing that it's not fair to call it an artistic interpretation and a catharsis or tool for female abuse victims, I would disagree. I would say it absolutely. I mean, it both literally is a female abuse victim in this case,
mm-hmm.
and because of how the abuse is dealt, I think it resonates much more with female abuse victims in general. And that's coming from a male who was an abuse victim. So take that as you will.
Wow, I was going to do mine and it pales in comparison. So never mind. I apparently wasn't abused.
Dicks and wieners. Let's bring the levity back.
I was abused by a sibling female.
Hmm.
But it was mental.
Well,
and that
yeah.
has its own level of scar tissue, which no video game's really going to address.
Well, they may, and this may be a good opportunity. You know, I mean, that might be a great way to sort of request that kind of.
True. Yeah,
I mean, I don't really. Tomb Raider handled it in a very interesting way. They
yes.
handled the abuse. I was worried when I first started playing it that the things that I found repulsive could be titillating to someone who was severely misogynistic, making it a sandbox game for horrible people.
But because Laura becomes stronger over the course
right.
of the game...
They will always lose.
They will always lose,
these people
which...
will always lose if that's how they're playing it.
...is the redeeming quality, whereas something like a Grand Theft Auto...
Right.
...that has the misogynistic behavior of slapping a hoe or whatever,
mm-hmm.
that is always the same, and it is never usurped by the heroine or the main character... And I think that mm-hmm. was what spoke to me in the article.
Right.
Not knowing, not having played the game, and not really being a person who plays those particular games because I find them too difficult, was that her interpretation of it was that it made her stronger, and it's like they're finding, and I'm winging this one, but I want to say that they're using video games for PTSD.
They are.
Folks and folks returning from theaters of war to help acclimate them into having a different frame of reference for the violence they have gone through, whether inflicted or suffered, as a way of being able to displace that association to something that is more replaceable in civilian society. I think I said that right.
That works for me. Okay. So thank you, Tom Brophy, for
bringing us down.
Just
you bastard.
You are a horrible human being. But, you know, on the same token, if this gets you to go read the article,
I hope it does.
It's a very interesting piece, and it definitely takes a new take. And additionally, I think it's a wonderful piece from someone who was triggered by the game but did not blame the game for triggering, instead found the game an interesting way to deal with it.
Yeah.
Very, very cool. All right. So let's try and bring this up a little bit.
Hey, everyone.
Oh, man. So I
sent you... It's the scent on Santa's lap time. Oh, hold it. No.
You've just made this so bad. You made this so... Yes, it's awful, and you should be ashamed.
Easter's coming. We could talk about chocolate and bunnies and little cute chicks. And don't go get little baby chicks and rabbits right now because they're cute, because in a month you're going to find out rabbits poop all over the place and chicks grow up into being not quite as attractive, and you're going to turn them back into the place, and it's just awful. So don't do it. Go find someone who has one, go to a petting zoo, whatever. Just come on, people.
All right. So there's your PSA for the podcast. All right. So this one's got me a little nervous. Seth Davis, again, asked us another question on Twitter, and it wasn't a question. It was a request, which is to filk for him.
Can we do that on a podcast?
Okay. So for those of you who don't know what filking is,
I'm raising my hand right now.
But he does know, so he's lying to you. He did tell you the truth. He was raising his hand, but he did it again. But he does know what filking is. So filking is changing the lyrics of an existing tune to make it geeky and to make it fun. So we have a filk for you we got some writing help from Christian Doyle.
Yes, who was going to appear as a guest filker.
But is apparently down with the plague.
Yes, he has the crud.
He's got super crud. So, without further ado, and I really hate you for doing this, Seth. Do you want me to do it, or do you want to do it?
We can
take turns, I guess. All right. I'll give you my rendition first. I lifted this song to filk for you. You can tell I suck at this. Go ahead. You take the next verse.
You can tell everybody that we stole this song.
It isn't very different, but now that it's done,
I hope they don't sue, 'cause we changed all the words and sang about dragons to please all the nerds.
There you go, Seth. I hate you.
And we are getting applause from the Peanut Gallery.
Oh,
or boy. The Plague Gallery.
The Plague Gallery.
Plague House?
Plague House. All right, so I think that we're probably getting close to time here.
We're at about 25 minutes.
25 minutes, nice. And we don't have an interview this time.
No.
We do have a sick Christian on the couch. What time does he need to be chauffeured?
Right about now.
Okay, so we're going to go ahead and wrap up the podcast. As always, Neil deGrasse Tyson, if you're listening, please come on.
We know about Star Talk Radio. Do you know about Two Bards, One Mic? I think we could help each other out.
Next time, we might talk about our hospital adventure. That was fun, but we just don't have time this this round. Also, be sure to check the personal Facebook pages for the 100-hour festival film that Scott was in.
Yes.
If you want an amazing laugh, it was also Brian Sutherland.
Brian Sutherland, Tony Carolani, Tim... Jeff.
Tim Forehand, Jeff. Right. Okay.
I wasn't going with last names because I don't know everybody.
Gotcha.
And they turn them out every once in a while. I was asked to be a part of this one. I hope I'm asked to be a part of the next one. But the guys, the crew, everything is just top-notch, funny, and we won 6 or 7 of the awards, including Best in Show, Best Actor, Best... use of one of the props, best
definitely effects. Definitely best Scott C. Brown on a toilet. You guys definitely won that. So definitely check that out. And we will both see you next week.
Yes.
When hopefully we will have a couple more questions. Please tweet us questions at @2Bards.
We love being Twittered.
#2BardsPodcast.
Yes.
And Twitter us as much as you can, within reason. So thanks for listening.
Yep. Good night.
Good night. Good luck. Good on you.